Okay, so we're going to talk about prophetic protocol. And so my name is Grace Carr. I'm from Texas, and I'm a second-year student at GSSM. And we, when I came to Global, like, we do a lot of the prophetic, which is really just speaking what's on God's heart to people. And I was a little weirded out by the prophetic at first because sometimes people get a little creepy with it. But I had this experience, actually it was at my church while I was at GSSM. Our pastors had asked us to prophesy over the worship team. We had this guest worship team in, and immediately I saw this guy, and I really felt like, you know, he's the one I want to start with. So he actually jumped off the stage and was trying to hurry and pack and leave. So I ran over to him. I'm like, hey, I know it looks like you're busy and you're trying to get away, but would it be possible for me to tell you something? I feel like God has a word for you. And he said, oh yeah, sure. That's great. And it was really funny because his mom, who was like 74, she saw me go toward him and she ran over and she's like, I want to hear this. And so I got to prophesy over him, and it was one of those moments where like you just open your mouth and God just kind of pours out. And I prayed for him, and I prayed about his son, and I told him that that God was going to go and speak to his son, and that what would normally have taken months and years in the natural was going to take only days and weeks, but there was going to be a change, and that for him, there was going to be a change in him as well, and he was going to be the father who received back his son. I didn't really know what it was about, and I asked him if it made sense, and he said, yes, it did. And he thanked me for it. And he kind of like, sometimes when you prophesy, people just have like this emotionless face. So you don't know, okay, well, they said it was okay, but are they like, is it really true? Or are they just like, okay, you can leave now. So a few days later, I'd kind of forgotten about it. And I was at church. It was a Sunday then. And I was sitting actually in front of this guy. And I just started going there, so I didn't know anyone. And so he was just standing there. It was during worship, and all of a sudden someone hits the back of my chair really hard, and we have actual chairs, and they're not usually ever connected, so my chair gets like shoved forward, and I'm like shoved into the next row, and I turn around, I'm like, oh no, who is that? And I see this guy that I'd prophesied over hugging someone, and I'm like, I wonder if that was his son, because it was a younger man, but I didn't really know them, so I didn't really want to ask. And about a week later, after this, I was in another city in Pennsylvania completely, and I ran into the guy that I had prophesied over, and he said, it's so weird that I keep running into you and I keep seeing you. He's like, I wanted to tell you that was my son. Like, I don't know if you saw, but this guy came in and hugged me in service, and that was my son. And yesterday, he actually moved home. Here's what you didn't know. My son had dropped out of high school and had completely cut off the family. We didn't even know where he was, really. We had no way to contact him, and he was extremely angry. He was only 17, and he was, like, done with the world, done with everything, and we thought there was no hope at that point. Like, the day you prophesied was we knew it was going to be a long time before we saw him again, before he got over his anger. And he said, but when you said that, he's like, yeah, like, I just knew it was God. And so he's like, but it's crazy that you said what would normally in the natural look like months and years would take only days and weeks, because it was only 3 days later that he came to church, and a week later he moved back home. He's like, you don't understand, there was no hope for us, for him. And sometimes when you prophesy, you don't get to hear the result. You don't get to see what happens after. And so it was really fortunate for me that I got to see that. And then I actually got to know his grandmother. Amber and I actually ended up living with her for a while, and we got to know the kid, and he had a complete change of heart. Like, you would never know that he was that angry kid, because he's so loving and compassionate. He went back to high school. He graduated last May. He's in college now. And God just really did a work on him. He went and he found his prodigal and he brought him home. So this is the power of the prophetic. Like, it was something just really simple, but when you speak a message that's really from God's heart, you get to see God encounter people in amazing ways. And so that's what I want from you, for you, is that this is for everyone. In the Bible it says that he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and that your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and so it's for all of us. So we can go to the next slide. So we're going to talk today about, like, why we don't see more prophecy in the church is one of our first, click it again. Okay. So, too much error, too much thus saith the Lord. This is one of the reasons why sometimes we don't see more prophecy in the church, is that people tend to be very direct, and they'll say, like, this is what God said, but if it's not, it builds distrust in others. And so we always try to be very, like, tentative in how we speak. We say, I feel like I have a word for you. Does this make sense? Because we don't want to force things on people. You know, if it is God, and they could even say no, and it really is true, but that's okay. You know, we trust God that he'll bring his words to fruition. We don't have to push them on people. So, and in Philippians, I don't think it says it up there, Philippians 1:9, it says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Like, it's okay to be wrong as long as your motivation is love. Guys, you just want to, like, when we give words from God, we want to be able to just trust that God will bring them to fruition. You don't have to editorialize. You don't have to. Just simply say what he said and trust that he'll bring it through. Next one. So, and then we also have Old Testament references, like in John the Baptist with the locust and the honey, and just sometimes prophets being, I mean, I had a friend one time, she went to someone in a class I was in, and she said, I had this vision of you, and I saw this octopus sitting on your head, and he was like holding on really tight. And the lady had no grid for the prophetic, so she was just like, you saw what? And she just walked off. And it wasn't a bad thing, but what she was seeing was not exactly what God wanted to say. And instead of seeking God for, like, what to say to the lady, she just kind of said, this is what I saw. Like, so eventually, like, she did pray about it, and she's like, okay, what I felt like God was saying was that there's been something on your mind that's been, like, really a burden to you. It wasn't, that was just how God was trying to communicate to the lady, but not what God wanted to communicate through her. So even when you get a word, sometimes if it's weird, like in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. So we call it flushing it. So you, like, if someone gives you a word, or you give someone a word, you take what you feel is God, and the rest of it you just flush. And you don't worry about it. Or sometimes we say, like, pick out the meat and throw away the bones. The next one, please. And then lack of training leads to fear. And this is because people, like, they don't really know what they're doing. So they're tentative and they're hesitant. And it works both ways. Like, lack of training can mean that people just kind of are overly zealous and they just kind of bowl people over. But it can also be that because they're too timid, they don't really give the full word, or they only give part of it, and it doesn't really make sense. But in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially that you would prophesy. With the boy and the dad that I had prophesied over, what really hit me afterward was, what if I had never shared that? What if I had never said that to them? We really talk a lot about the prophetic is for encouragement, exhortation, and edification of the body, but it's also, we say, foretelling and forthtelling. It means it tells us what's going to happen, but it also releases the power of God to cause things to happen. It says in the Bible, it says, you know, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. So there's creative power living in you when you release the words of God. It causes things to be stirred up in the Spirit. So let's go to a general definition of prophecy. It's the next slide. It's speaking to an individual or group what is on the heart of God in the time frame God wants it spoken. So words are also for a time or a season. So if you get a word for someone, you know, I always seek God and ask him, like, okay, who is this for? What do you want me to say? Because sometimes I'll know more than I'm actually sharing. So I always want to release and say what God has to say to them. And then also, when? Like, what is the timing for this? And it doesn't have to be complicated. It's not like you have to have paragraphs and paragraphs. It can be two or three words. This for me is like an event that will like always be the definition of prophecy for me. I was on a prayer line at a prophetic conference, actually. It wasn't through Global. It was through another prophet that had come to my church in Texas. And we had people come forward who just wanted a word from God. And this lady came forward, and we were in little groups. So there were three people praying, and one lady who had come forward. And as soon as she came forward, we were like, we're going to get words for her. We're so excited. And we start, like, you know, asking God, what do you have for her? And, like, we get nothing. And she's just standing there, like, stone-faced. Like, we have no idea. Okay, so we're just going to wait on the Lord. So we're waiting. And I'm like, God, I know that you want to speak to everyone. And you are speaking to everyone, I believe, all the time. So I know there's something that you have for her. And I actually have a vision, an open vision, with my eyes open. And I don't normally have them. And I saw a little girl running around her feet. But what God told me, like, inside of me, was that he wanted to talk to her about her littlest daughter. And she had it was a little girl running around. So I was like, that's what I heard. I want to talk to her about her littlest daughter. And that's really very simple. And I could have just said that, but I was a chicken. Because I was like, this lady she's one of those people who could have been 12 or she could have been 40. And I had no idea. And I didn't know if she was married or if she had kids. And I didn't want to. So I was just like, I'll go the safe route. And I was like, so, you know, are you married? Like, have you ever been married? You have, like, so yes, I'm married. And I was like, do you have any kids? And she's like, yeah, I have kids. I was like, do you have any daughters? She's like, yeah, I have some daughters. I was like, okay. I was like, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to, like, assume. And then you'd be like, lady, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any kids. I'm like, you know, 19. But she said, and so I was like, well, this is what I heard. And I believe that God's always speaking. So we've really been pressing in to hear something. But I heard God say, he wants to talk to you about your littlest daughter. And that's all I said, because that's all that God gave me to say. That's all God wanted me to say. And I was really careful, too, to say it exactly how he had told me to say it. And she just immediately, she just started crying. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I did. I'm not sure, because I'm just, he wants to talk to you about your daughter. I'm not seeing how that should make you cry. And I'm like, I broke the person. So I was like, okay. And I was just like, okay, I'm just going to wait. And I'm just going to pray and intercede in myself so that, you know, and she's like, she's like sobbing. And she's like, you don't understand. You don't understand what that means. You don't understand what you said. And I'm like, you're right, I don't understand. And I was like, would you tell me? And she said, you don't understand because three months ago, I had a little girl. I gave birth to a little girl. It was my youngest daughter. And went to the hospital and I came home, but I felt like something was wrong with her. And I knew something was going on, something was wrong. So I called the hospital, but where we were was, like, it's a rural area. And in Texas, a rural area is really a rural area. So the closest hospital that could treat her as a baby was three and a half hours away. And so she's like, so I put her in the car, and we're driving to, like, the children's hospital that's in Dallas. And she's like, but what happened was on the way, she died. And I knew something was wrong, and I knew before I left the hospital, but I just didn't know what to do. And I told God when I got there, I said, I will never talk to you about this, never. I will never talk to you about this. And I haven't heard from God since that day. I haven't heard anything from him at all. And I came here tonight hoping to hear from him again. And what you told me is that even though I don't want to talk to him about my daughter, he wants to talk to me about it. So, and she just, like that was what she needed in that moment. And all I said was, God wants to talk to you about your littlest daughter. Like, it wasn't complicated. It wasn't this, like, grandiose, like, metaphorical prophecy. It was just a simple sentence that was directly from the heart of God, in a specific time frame that God wanted spoken. Like, that was the moment that she wanted to hear, that she was like, God, I'm coming for you. And he was there to meet her. So that's the power of the prophetic. That's the definition of prophecy for me. Like, that will always be why I say things, even when I'm not sure why I go forward. Because, again, what if I hadn't said that to her? What if I hadn't tried? She may still not be in relationship with God. And it was fortunate for me that the two ladies that I was with both had, like, little kids, and they really got to pray and minister with her more through that. So, and then in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And that's really what she received. She received all those things that day. Next slide. Who can prophesy? Okay, well, this is easy. Everyone. Connor can prophesy. So, and guys, it's not just everyone, it's all age groups. Like, we used to do this thing called treasure hunting, which is a word of knowledge-based, prophetic kind of outreach. And we would teach kids how to prophesy. And we would bring their parents, too, because we want the whole family involved. But we would sit kids down and be like, God's going to give us words of knowledge and prophecies to find people in public. And the craziest thing was the kids always totally put the parents to shame. Like, they would have, like, three or four things that they had on their list. Like, I saw someone with a red sweater and black shoes, and they have this problem. And they would get the person who had, like, it would be all of them. Sometimes even the name or the job. And, like, the parents were like, I have Walmart. Like, you know, and we'd be like, okay, we found Walmart. and the kids sometimes even, like, they don't know better. Like, even some, we had one little girl who was, like, born an analytical accountant in training, and she was very skeptical. She's 6 years old, and she's like, this is totally not real, and it's make-believe. And we were just like, well, you know what? God's going to speak to you. If it's make-believe, then you just try. And she's like, fine. And she's like, I'm just going to make them up. And she made up five things, and she found it was a yellow shirt, black pants, white shoes, a girl named Ashley who had something to do with music. And we ran into a girl named Ashley with a yellow shirt, black pants, white shoes, and she had music print on the shirt. Like, totally, like, and the girl was like, ah, like, totally, like, okay, maybe this is not make-believe. But God honors the attempt of a child, you know? So everyone can do this. Everyone can prophesy. And again, follow the way of mercy and eagerly desire that you prophesy. And one of the places they get this is in Joel 2:28. It says, afterward, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So go to the next slide. And I'm going to pray just real fast, just for a release of the prophetic spirit on you guys. So Heavenly Father, I believe that you want all of us to prophesy. And I just ask for a release of that gift today on these people. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so next slide. How do we grow in the prophetic? There's two basic ways that we grow in the prophetic that we find in Scripture. It's caught, we call it caught and taught. You can catch a prophetic spirit, which is, and I take it from 1 Samuel 10:10. When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. It's talking about Saul. But Saul got around the prophets, and when Saul was around the prophets, the prophetic spirit came on Saul, and he began to prophesy with them. And you'll read later that, like, when he wasn't around the prophets, he was not prophesying. So this was something that happened when he encountered the prophetic spirit that the prophets carried. And this is true of you guys. Like, when you're around prophetic people, you're going to find that you're able to prophesy better, you're able to hear better. When you go to prophetic conferences, there's just going to be a release of that spirit so that all people can enter into it. And so, and that's how, like, we grow up at school, too, in the prophetic, is we have so many prophetic anointed teachers come in and, you had trouble section right there. I'm looking at Amber. Okay, so and this is true for us too. Like at VOA was one conference. Like I had a prophetic spirit last year when last year was in Lancaster, and like, I just couldn't even, I didn't even want to think about people because I would start hearing things God wanted to say to them. I was just like, no, I don't want to do this right now. Okay, go to the next slide. Okay, so go back to the other slide. This is a different PowerPoint than the one I have. Okay, so also, so it taught. Being taught is a little different. Like getting rich to materials, reading resources, even being under prophetic people, they can actually teach and instill it to you, whether it's they're there or through other means of communication. At school, we do a lot of practicing, which is just stepping out in faith and saying, this is kind of what I feel like God is saying. Does this make sense to you? And actually, like, it really does help to get feedback for people to say, well, this makes sense, but that, I've never been to Italy, you know, and I'm like, I don't know why you would think I was in Italy. So, and even like, I mean, at school we do this a lot. They pushed us into, we did a prophetic presbytery, which was really us being downstairs prophesying over, what, how many people were at VOP? 2,000 people? We each did about 150 people. Like, it was a lot of people. But like 7 hours of just straight prophesying. And like, that's when you really learn, like, because you'll, people with you will like, you'll go off of each other and you'll have the same word. And it's just practicing until you realize. And really what it is refining the Spirit of God, the voice of God inside you, refining that to where you recognize it above everything else. That's really what you're doing. Go to the next slide, please. What if we're wrong? So this is a scary scripture to read. Deuteronomy 18:20, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who seeks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. This is the Old Testament view of a prophet. This was before the release of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And so in the Old Testament, a prophet was responsible to steward the word in exactly the way that God had intended it to be. And if it wasn't done correctly, he could be put to death. In the New Testament, the Spirit's been poured out on all people. So all people have the ability not only to discern a word that they're giving, but also a word that they're receiving. So if you're wrong, you trust the discernment and the Spirit of God to steward the word when you give it. And people have a responsibility, especially when they're Christians, to receive or not to receive words that are given to them. And then also, sometimes you give words and people say that they're not correct. Like, we had this encounter one time during a treasure hunt, which is our outreach, at Walmart. And I went up to this lady. I was like, I feel like, are your kids sick? And she's like, no, my kids are great. And I'm like, okay, maybe that wasn't God. I was like, well, can I just pray for, like, protection over your family? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, so I started praying. And I was like, God, I just pray for protection over their family from all sickness, for her children, just never to encounter sickness. And we're praying for her, and at the end, she's like, it's so crazy that you prayed protection for my kids because one of my daughters has pneumonia. She had pneumonia for like 5 months. And I'm like, I just asked you if your kids were sick because I felt like God was saying that and wanted to speak into that. But so what I'm saying is that sometimes you'll appear to be wrong, but people are actually just not really sure how to receive. They're not really sure what to do with what you're saying or what your intentions are. So they'll back off. But sometimes even just releasing the word, and you do it with humility, and you release it as a, you know, a question, or like, I feel like God's wanting to bless your children, you know? And then, okay. Yeah, and then it's also an open invitation. God wants us, like, I was talking to somebody earlier about, like, God has given these gifts so that we can use them. He wants us to try. He doesn't give us gifts so that we can hold back, but he wants us to learn and to grow in them. So it's really important that, like, you realize that, and this is how I view my life, like, the people that are put into your path are people that God has given to you, and that they're people that you have an open door because you've encountered them, they're in your path, an open door and even a responsibility to steward what God has for them as the person who knows God. And this is how we reach people in the kingdom. To think about maybe all the things, like, I've even had this in my life where someone has said, I really wanted to tell you that, but I didn't. It's like, you know, I probably really could have used that at that time. So it's like, you know, it's okay. Like, even if you're not sure, even if you're hesitant, just ask, you know, just try. And it's okay to be wrong. Like, God's not going to smite you. It's going to be okay. As long as you're in humility and your motive is love, things are going to work out, and you're going to learn and grow, and you'll discern, okay, well, that's not, well, that wasn't God, and this was God, and you're going to learn the voice more. Okay, next slide. And again, a posture of humility. We prophesy by faith. It's a growth process. As you do it, it gets easier and it gets better. Next slide, or push it again. Yeah. When sharing a prophetic word, this is just like easy ways to help stay in a posture of humility, but also to feel people out and to know like how much grace you really do have with them. It's like, I believe God is saying, I feel like this is a word for you. And that way they always have this word, the ability to say, no, I'm not really interested in what you have. you know, or I don't really agree with you. And again, like sometimes I do this myself, and I have a lot of experience over the years prophesying, but I'll even like, if I hear something I don't understand, I'll just ask, does this make sense to you? At a prophetic presbytery that we did, this man came up, and immediately I had this impression of him being a pastor and a professor and a soldier. And I was like, that doesn't really make sense. I don't know how that would work. But I told him, I said, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I saw you being a pastor and a professor and like a police officer or soldier or something. And I don't really know what that means. And then I prophesied and told him what I felt like God was saying about that. And really, the prophecy had nothing to do with those things, but that was confirmation for him because he was a Navy chaplain who taught at the Naval Academy chaplaincy stuff. So for him, he was a pastor and a professor and a soldier. So that was, and he went and he actually talked to the director and was like, I was totally a skeptic when I went in there, but this girl told me what I did for a living and without even knowing what she was doing. Like, and so that was really a confirmation for him to really believe God for what was happening in his life. And it says in 1 Corinthians 19, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Like God doesn't always give you everything. Sometimes you just have a piece of the puzzle that releases what God wants to do in someone's life, and you just release that and you trust him for what it's meant for because you won't always know. So go ahead and do the next slide. Keep it in line with Scripture. Yeah, we don't want to prophesy anything that's overtly unbiblical because that would not be God's will, obviously. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And also we have to remember, too, that if you have something for someone, Scripture is always prophetic. It says the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So pretty much a lot of things from the Bible are a testimony of Jesus, and that can be, like, if you want to just get a Scripture for someone, that is prophetic in nature as well because it's the promises and the life of God being given to someone. Next slide. Okay. Yeah, and we have to remember, too, that prophecy is meant to bring encouragement. And again, 1 Corinthians 14, which is kind of like our hallmark verse for the prophetic protocol, is prophecy, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And that's really like, and this is the key, like one of the big things we do at Global. Like if you go somewhere or prophesying over someone and you see something negative, God doesn't usually speak bad things over people. So we practice what we call flipping it. So I'll give you an example from my life. I went out to an outreach, and we're talking to this lady, and I have this really a word of knowledge that she had a drug problem, but that there was like she maybe wasn't in, like she had a drug problem, but it wasn't current, and that there's something really wrong between her and her daughter, and so I told her, I was like, hey, I want you to know that no matter what's happened, you're a good mother. And she started crying. She's our server, and so she's like, you know, crying while she's serving and trying not to. And she's like, you don't know. Like I just got out of rehab, and it was like a forced kind of thing, like by the courts. And she's like, and I didn't have my daughter for like a year, and I've been worried since I got out that she's never gonna forgive me. And she's five, you know. It's like she's just glad to have her mom back, but like that this is gonna scar her for the rest of her life, and I've just totally messed my daughter up forever. And I told her, like, you know, God can redeem anything. And so, but that's what she needed. She didn't need me to tell her, hey, I heard you're a drug addict and that you have a problem with your kid. Like, that wasn't what God was saying to her. What God was saying is that there's hope and that there's a chance for things to change and that there's more than what's happened to you, that God can restore and redeem anything. Okay, so next slide. How do we prophesy? So we get in the Spirit. That's the basic, like you can't do many of the spiritual gifts, especially revelatory gifts, which is words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and the prophetic without knowing how to hear from God and being in communication with God. And we actually have two books out there that help with that. One is You All May Prophesy, and the other one is You Can Hear Me. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? yeah, can you hear me? And those are like... Can You Hear Me is a book on connecting with the voice of God, and You and Me All Prophesy is like a really basic introduction into the prophetic for everybody. So we get in the spirit, like, and my suggestion for you is you grab onto anything. You ask God and you trust him that if you ask him to speak to you, that he will. And like, so this is an example for me. Like, I was at a conference one time and I was just in worship, and all of a sudden, like, I opened my eyes and there's this guy whose back of the back of their head was just in front of me because we were in worship. And I was like, oh, I think I know that guy. And all of a sudden I just had this flash of an image. And I had the choice though whether to hold on to it for a second or to push it away and just ignore it as a random thought. But I was like, you know what, I'm gonna grab onto it. And so it was just this flash of pumpkins. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, and so I grabbed onto it. I was like, God, are you saying something? And immediately I saw this image form in my mind of pumpkins, and then the season's changing, and God said that he's growing something in this man's house, and that he's taking him from being outside the house more to being at home more, but that because he's doing that, what's outside the house will grow. And he told me, like, this was God telling me, that his business, even though he's home more, would actually be of more effect, and it would be growing more. And I was really hesitant to give the word, and there was a few other things in there, but like finally I was like, I went for it, and I was like, okay, I think I know you from school, and I had, like, I saw this when we were worshiping. And he's like, that's crazy, because I had seen him put pumpkins on his porch, and he had just done that like 2 days before. And he said, all those things that you're saying, I actually am. I'm not traveling as much anymore, and I'm purposely staying home, and all the things that you said, like, that's what I've been praying for. And so, but it was just this little flash of just, okay, God, is this you? And asking and really getting and engaging the Spirit. And 2 Peter 1:21, it says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it's really about just, you have to draw the voice inside of you. You have to draw on your relationship with God and your connection to him. So here's just some little tips to help you get a prophetic word. You have a God-given imagination. So when I imagined pumpkins just randomly, I trust that God, I have the mind of Christ and I have a God-given imagination and that God can speak to me through that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So she just told me that it was Bob Hazel.
Yeah.
Right. How did you overcome the intimidation to prophesy to the prophet?
It was really scary. Yeah, I got it on Friday, and Bob Hazlett's a speaker that comes to our school, and like, he's like who we hold up as the prophecy like guy, and I was like, oh, I saw pumpkins, but this is Bob Hazlett. I don't want to prophesy over that. No, like, that's like teaching math to a math teacher. You just don't do that, you know. But I was terrified, and I was like, I know it's God, because I kept getting words for people over and over again during this conference. And so finally I was like, okay, Amber, and this is what, Amber, go get him and tell him I have a prophecy for him. Yeah, I made her go get it. And then I stood there, and he's like, so I heard you have a word for me. And I was like, this is the word. And he's like, it's okay. Like, I'm actually going to give you feedback. And he began to tell me exactly, like, he remembered everything I said, and he, like, down to the detail, told me exactly what it meant. Yeah, he showed me pictures of things I had said in the prophecy.
So he took it as a real teaching moment.
He took it as a teaching moment, but he also said that was one of the most accurate prophetic words he'd had in years. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, run away. Like, so, yeah, and he's like, because I'm your teacher, I can understand why it's scary. I'm like, you don't understand. You don't understand, I promise. So, so yeah. Okay. Is that good? Okay. Next one. Pay attention to quick pictures. That's what I gave you an example of. So next part. Okay, you can ask God for things to jump off of. It doesn't have to be a cartoon character. It can be like, God, give me a scripture. And like, you start with a scripture, and it just helps you stir up the Spirit inside of you to really just flow. Ask God for a picture of an animal or an object. We did this, and we'll actually do this in a second, just practice once or twice. And like, and you don't say, I see that you're a beaver. You say, you ask God for an animal, and you say, what qualities about this animal, like, God, are you trying to show me about this person? You know, and someone who would be a beaver, like, God could say, I see that you're really skillful, and you can build things that most people can't build, and they stand the test of time. And look for God to highlight something around you. Okay, highlighting, like this is, that sounds like God opens a light over people and it shines down from heaven. Really, this is what I view it as, and this is how I started really to recognize it. It's like I look across the room, and if my eye stops on someone, then I just view them as highlighted. And the more I did it, the more I realized like the same person would be where my eye stopped when I would look more than once or twice. And I would just be like, you know what, I'm going to trust that this is God. And I would go for it. And sometimes, honestly, you don't have a word until you open your mouth. You don't have anything to say. Like if I see like that this lady you're actually sitting under, like if you're highlighted, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I'm going to trust that means God has a word for you. So I go stand in front of you and I'm like, is it okay if I pray and prophesy over you? And I'll just start praying. And then God will give me words because I have to trust that if you're highlighted, there's a reason. So that's what highlighting is. It's not open heavens over people, like, but it could be. And that's what I was saying before. Like, you don't say you're a roadrunner. You say, I feel like you're really quick in the spirit. okay, next slide. So those are just like tips or cheats on getting them. Christianese. Okay, Christianese is words we use in the church that other people don't understand. Like, if you're in the street and you tell people God's going to take them to the throne room, they're probably not going to know what that means. They're going to be like, where? And this is one of the verses that I like for this. And it says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood behind me. And this is really just showing that like people are at different stages. And so there's a lot of people outside the church who they may not even be in the faith, or they may be children in the faith. And it's best to just start like low. And then as you realize that they understand, you can grow in what you're saying. But the best thing I can tell you is like, especially if you're talking to a kid, if a kid wouldn't understand it, don't always assume that an adult would, you know? And I was talking to a little girl one time on the street, and God told me exactly, he told me what her greatest fear was, and he told me that was what really, like, that's what kept her awake at night, and that's what scared her. And I went over to her, and I started talking to her, and I was like, I want you to know, and I started telling her about how God was a father. But there's a lot of words I could have used that would have not made any sense to her, but she understood what God being a father meant, and God protecting her meant. If I went and said, well, he died and he's the propitiation of our sins and that kind of thing, she would not have understood what was going on. And then also, like, too, it helps you from, like, when you're in Walmart and stuff, people don't feel as much like they're being evangelized forcibly if you just talk in a really common way. Like, they don't feel like you're trying to sell things to them. And that's just my opinion kind of thing. So, next slide. Keep it short, introduce it gently. Yeah, we have one prophet that comes in and says, I've been learning about giving encouraging words from God. Can I try it out on you? Or he says, I'm a Christian. Sometimes God tells me things. Can I share with you what he said? And then you say, or I have a strong impression, or I have this feeling. And then you ask for feedback. You say, does that make sense? Or no, like, it's okay if it doesn't. We did this one time at a restaurant, and we just said, hey, we're playing this game, and we're Christians, and I know this might be a little weird, but we're playing this game, and we want to try to guess your middle name by having God tell us. And he's like, okay. And I was like, and we said, we could be totally wrong. And we found, we talked about it and prayed about it before you came over here, and we have two that we think kind of sound similar, but that we think might be your middle name. And there wasn't any pressure on him. We didn't have to tell him anything. So we were flexible, and we just asked if he was open to it, and he was. And we said, we heard the word like air, or like Eric or Aaron. And he's like, my middle name is Aaron. Like, that's really weird. And then he ran away. And then he came back and he said, wait a minute, how did you know that? And then he walked off again. He came back and said, no, tell me again. I'm totally freaked out. Yeah. That actually we did get to pray for him and prophesy over him as well. It was really good. And you don't have to, again, you don't have to overly explain. People are not, you don't need to convince them. Just ask. you know, and trust that God will give you grace where you need to have grace. Okay, so I think that's it. So the basics of prophetic protocol, the basic thing you need to know, you do it all in love. It's for the edification of the body, and we're all called to do it. We're all called to prophesy. We're all called to move in the prophetic, and you grow. Like, if you really are interested in growing in this, I would suggest practicing, reading prophetic books, listening to tapes, going to conferences where the prophetic spirit is released, and always maintain a posture of humility when you approach people. And I like to follow the grace that God's given me. So if I feel like grace is lifted on talking to someone, I say, okay, I give them an out so that we don't have to continue, because I don't want to overwhelm people. And then basically you want to practice and practice and practice and practice with anything. Like with a sport, like, you grow your prophetic muscles by practicing them and by taking risks and by, like, I like to, if I do something a lot, I like to change it up and, like, try something new, try something different. How can I push myself? How can I do something, like, even more so? And I know, like, there's a book, I think it's called Risk Factor. They talk about, like, sometimes creating an environment of risk actually helps you, like, grow. So, like, instead of just prophesying with you one-on-one, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll prophesy over you in front of your whole family, because that increases the risk factor. Does it make sense? It increases, like, I have to really connect with God if I'm going to believe that he's going to talk to me in the midst of all this risk. I don't know what to do. Can we go to the next one? You mean to do the activation? Okay. Okay, so we're going to pair up, and it's best to pair up with someone you don't really know that well, or especially, like, with you guys, probably know everybody really well, like someone you know the least well. So stand up and grab a partner. Yeah, who you don't know very well. Everybody's asleep. Yeah. We're gonna do an activation. We're gonna practice the prophetic. So everybody could grab a partner, someone they don't know that well or less well than everybody else. Anybody, like, if you want to participate, we're all doing it. So yeah. So you can do it. It's take a risk. Take a risk. Yeah, or, like, there's one over there. Are you going to participate? You can go with him. Because he's participating now. Yeah. Are you? So you two, okay. You can go with, there's a lady over there, too. Amber. Okay, do we have partners? Go with this lady over here in the pink shirt. Okay, so we're gonna pray, and we're gonna ask God to give us a verse for the person. And I don't want you just to give them the verse, but I want you to tell them why you feel like God is giving them that verse. And the tallest person is gonna go first. Okay? So I'm gonna pray, and then the first verse you think of, like, just trust that it's God, and, like, then tell them what it is, and that tell them why you feel like God is saying that. And I'll give you a couple minutes to do that, and then we'll switch, okay? So, God, I just thank you for the people that are willing to risk this, and I just ask for a prophetic spirit to be released right now in Jesus' name, for words of knowledge for the prophetic, and for just your anointing to flow over them in Jesus' name. Amen.